Hi everyone, this is Erin Prather Stafford with the Girls That Create podcast on Word of Mom Radio. My guest today is Pierra Vanderweel, a multi-talented artist and founder of Stronger With Music. She's been recognized for her impactful work, including being named one of the top 15 artists promoting human rights through music. Vanderweel's music video campaign, Used, partnered with organizations like the Canadian Women's Foundation and the United Nations to End Violence Against Women. Her company, Stronger With Me, was mentioned in the House of Lords for its work in the domestic abuse bill legislation. She has also received awards for film. Vanderweel's narrative short film, Strip Clara, won Best Short Film at the London TV and Film Awards, Best UK Short Film at the CKF International Film Festival, and Best Score at the Female Voices Rock Film Festival. Vanderweel also received a nomination for Best Actor at the Golden Door International Film Festival. She is a passionate advocate for gender equality and LGBTQ+ voices. Currently, Vanderweel stars in the psychological horror series Mindscapes and is working on her latest project, Won't Be Displaced, a narrative short film about LGBTQ+ refugees. Welcome to the Girls That Create podcast, Pierra Vanderweel.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
When we spoke for your creator spotlight on the Girls That Create website, you shared that as a child, you fell in love with the song I Could Have Danced All Night from My Fair Lady. And one day, your grandfather walked in on you singing. Can you share more details of that memory and what advice he gave you?
Yeah, absolutely. At the time, I was about, I was about 8 years old. And I was in my room singing on a karaoke machine. And I was singing I Could Have Danced All Night. And then my grandfather, he heard me and he came in. And the high note was about to come. And as it did, I remember I stopped singing and then I ran behind my grandfather and he turned me around and I remember so distinctly him sort of saying to me, you can sing this, like be proud of your voice and your power and get your voice out for everyone to hear it. So then straight after that, I sang it again and I hit those high notes, which was awesome, with a massive smile on my face. Yeah, it was a beautiful memory, honestly, an absolute beautiful memory. And He would also sing to me Scottish songs as well. So I was always singing something and with him together, which was a really lovely memory to have and something that I still have many recordings of us, even when I was young.
And there was a movie too, if I recall, that really impacted you when you were younger that you just loved and that made you just kind of fall in love with the idea of singing and acting, besides My Fair Lady. Do you remember which one that was?
I would probably say The Sound of Music. It's actually a film that I watch on Christmas Eve every year. And this is something when you see Julie Andrews is definitely something I was aspiring to be, Julie Andrews. And she's definitely an absolute icon. Just her voice singing in the mountains was just something I wanted to do, wanted to emulate and sort of live my life through.
You know, it's interesting, too. I love Sound of Music because, you know, sometimes people are like, well, you know, but she ends up and she gets married. And, you know, that's very traditional. But on the other hand, what I really always appreciate about it is I'm like, but she found her own path.
She
and
did.
She was encouraged by the superior mother to go do that
with an amazing song Climb Every Mountain is actually a song I could sing when I was 8 years old. I was soprano by then and I was sort of petrified of my voice, but yeah, it was I love that song. I would listen to that song straight after this now, actually.
I think everyone, if they're having a bad day, should just go listen to that song and you'll probably feel better.
Yeah, 1000%. Absolutely.
And that ties into my next question. You've long believed that music is not only powerful, but it's also healing.
Yes.
How did your love for singing develop and what inspired you to pursue music beyond childhood?
I would say sort of at childhood, I was about 2.5 years old. I was singing on trains and planes. I was even singing in Italian. I don't even know how. And so it's always been sort of a part of me and who I am. And music is also very healing. And as you said, so at the age of 14, I actually lost my best friend to a car accident and music really helped me get through my grief. I was encouraged by my music teacher to write a song and this was the first song that I ever wrote. And I sent it to my best friend's family And I also sang it at her memorial. But it's also something that I've never released. So that's something I'd like to do in the future, because it really sort of started my connection with music, with mental health and my journey in finding myself again after the accident. Because music definitely has this power to heal. And I believe that we are stronger with music.
Especially after everything that has happened in the last few years, well, that is continuing to happen right now. I think I find music also very a place to just step away for a moment and just kind of let my mind settle and having to process everything that's happening in the world.
Absolutely. No, it's definitely a gateway to sort of explore what's either going on within yourself or even reflect what's going on in your surroundings as well.
What motivated you to establish Stronger with Music and promote the importance of music in mental health and social impact?
So I started my company Stronger with Music really to just bring together like-minded souls in the arts and also outside of the arts to sort of show how the creative economy can bring about social change. Because I really love to work on projects that I can shine light to on issues that really need to be addressed. And for me, I think like what a better way to do that than through art or through song, a performance, or even film. And I definitely think this came from my own journey in music and how it helped me at such a young age after my best friend died. Like I really found my voice and I found my peace in a way of connecting to others. And that's what I really want Stronger Music to be, is that way of connecting to others and creating that community.
Can you share some of the projects that you've collaborated on and worked with Stronger with Music?
Absolutely. So one of the projects which I'm very proud of was a project called Used and Domestic Violence. It was a music video campaign that actually partnered with the United Nations Spotlight Initiative. And within this music video, it shows the warning signs of domestic violence and also the signal for help, which is this hand gesture. And what we wanted to do is be able to sort of educate ourselves further and to be able to recognize this hand signal and be able to help someone who's experiencing domestic violence, but through a different medium, through this medium of this music video. We also show some survivors performing this hand signal in the video as well. That also led to it being mentioned in the domestic abuse bill at the House of Lords. As I've always wanted to be able to use my art, my projects that I'm involved with, to be able to activate change. And after that, with the United Nations Spotlight Initiative, I was actually working with them to develop their With Her series. So I was speaking with other domestic abuse survivors on their UN platform and trying to spark this much needed conversation online and also virtually. So domestic violence is a topic that I continue to address through projects. So a project that I'm actually working on right now at the moment is a short documentary called Quiet Resilience. And this focuses on domestic violence within the Abaco Bahamas. And it's co-directed, produced by myself and also Bahamian filmmaker Charlotte Maguire. And our aim is to explore this underbelly of this archipelago and through a family's journey and bubbling chicken sauce on the stove, we focus on this domestic violence story that shook the community and how we want to create action and also see what support is needed there on these out islands, and how we want to create action and also see what support is needed on these out islands through community engagement, local and international partnerships.
It's interesting because domestic violence is problem just sounds like such a small way to describe it. It's such a issue that affects everyone in the world, which I think people sometimes forget about, that it is a challenge that spreads its tentacles in every corner of the world. And I love that music and the arts is in a way lets people know who may be suffering from it, that they're not alone and that maybe there is something that they could have a different life.
That's it. And I think being able to use art as sort of sparking conversation, but also sparking action is something that can be extraordinarily powerful. And that's definitely what I aim to do with the projects that I work on, specifically, you know, domestic violence.
We're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back with the Girls That Create podcast on Word of Mom Radio. My guest today is Pierra Vanderweel. In storytelling, too, I'd love to hear your thoughts about how storytelling is a part of social impact, how it just sharing, just for a moment, stepping into someone else's shoes and thinking about their lives, how that can actually help a viewer, a listener, a reader grow and reevaluate their place in the world and what they may could do to make the world a better place.
So I think with social impact, when you say the word social impact, I think for myself, I hear the word social, but then I also hear the word act. So the social is really the community, right, around us and how we're all in this together, and also how we must act if we do to see change and also a better world. And then I think storytelling just invites people on this journey. A story can really evoke a viewer or a listener. And if we want to engage with others and change people's mind, I think the best way we can do this is through evoking emotions, like through our storytelling. And I think that can also bring about further connection through the arts and through what story we're telling. It's actually Chris Bailey, who's a friend of mine from the Arts and Health with the WHO. And I remember when I was first creating sort of stories and artistic projects that were leading to mental health and social impact, I remember it was him who was sharing that specific message on the importance of evoking emotions with storytelling and social change. And I remember that really resonated with me.
And you are a member of the LGBTQIA+ community.
Yes, I am. Very proud.
And I would love to hear about what key issues do you advocate for as an activist and being within the community? And how are you using your platform to raise awareness and promote change?
Absolutely. So actually in the last year, I've been writing these social impact songs linking to our beautiful community on TikTok. And there was a specific song called that I wrote called Listen Up UK. And it was about supporting trans rights and about the brutal murder of Brianna Jai. The teenager who was brutally killed in the UK. I've also been writing songs sort of regarding further LGBTQ+ hate crime and also how a lot of these hate crimes have been taking place at our safe havens, our places for ourselves. And sort of through these songs, how I was writing them is I read a piece of news and then I've been writing songs about them. So just trying to get those stories out there sort of through a different medium and engagement. I've been having sort of engagement with other people, other members of the LGBTQ+ community after writing songs like that, or even people who weren't aware of the news that is happening regarding the LGBTQ+ community, which has been incredibly inspiring and what I want to continue to try and do as well. So there's another LGBTQ+ project that I'm working on at the moment, which I'm really excited about, and it's called Won't Be Displaced. And I'm co-producing this with the amazing Katharina Benjamin, who's a Brazilian producer and also an incredible friend of mine. So I started writing and developing this project about a year ago, and it focuses on LGBTQ+ refugees in the UK. And at the moment, we've been having some incredible conversations and collaborative conversations with the NGO Rainbow Migration, because I think for myself with my project, I like to have those collaborations and connecting conversations. And with Rainbow Migration, they're amazing, absolutely incredible. They support LGBTQ+ individuals who are in the UK seeking asylum, and they provide like practical and emotional and legal support. And they also carry out incredible campaigns to help improve the asylum system in the UK. I announced this project at Cannes Film Festival, which was awesome, on a diversity panel, and really excited. And we're going to be shooting that project this year.
And you are at Cannes, so that means you also are an actor, as we know. We talked about your bio.
Yes.
And can you share, you've worked on short films and stage productions, and I would love to hear any memorable experiences you've had or roles that have significantly impacted your career.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would definitely say Milady de Winter. So I played Milady de Winter, the Three Musketeers, with the Classical Theatre of Harlem, off-Broadway production. And it was in the outdoor amphitheatre in Margus Garvey Park. This theatre company is so inspiring, and I love supporting their work, and Ty Jones, who runs it, is an absolute legend. And I have a really vivid memory. It was in the summer, and I was wearing a corset, so a very tight corset, also a huge period dress as well. And I was outside with a magnificent wig, and it was throwing it down with rain, absolutely throwing it down, and like the wind was on my face and sort of very much like within the elements on this stage. And I felt so present and so in the moment of working with some of these amazing actors. and I just felt alive, and I felt like it was very much like the beginning, and that definitely significantly impacted me in showing sort of my powers within myself as an actor and also working with others, which is just so exciting. I would also say another role that I worked on was something that I wrote myself. It was called Strip Clara, and this was a short film and it had a successful film festival run, which was amazing. It really focuses on domestic violence and also mental health in the 19th century. And I definitely think that project really inspired me to sort of create further work on these issues.
And in the entertainment industry in general, how important is it for us to have more LGBTQIA plus representation?
Yes. Very important.
We have a ways to go.
Very important. Absolutely. So I think more and more queer content is being produced, but then it's being cancelled. I want to see more flourish, and I want to see more LGBTQ plus representation, just so, you know, younger generations, if they're going to see this content, you know, they might see themselves and they might feel, you know, a little bit less alone.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, here in the United States, it seems like we've had periods where there's been better representation, but a lot of the times the character is the side character, the sidekick, not the main character.
Let's get some leads. Let's get some leads. Yeah, exactly. We want some leads. Let's go.
So how do you balance your career as a singer and an actor with your activism work? Because that's a lot of different buckets and where you're, you know, sharing your creativity. And how do they complement each other? And what are some of those challenges you face in balancing all those different aspects of your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say I want to give time to the work and the project for me that I'm most passionate about, that can bring about that change and bring about the connection. And I think I really just want to create a community where we can share our activism and our art together. And that's something that I really want to focus even more with Strong Word Music and the projects that we're working on. I would also say that I wanted to show my true commitment to activism. So I actually completed an online part-time master's in development and diplomacy with United Nations University for Peace. So I was able to do that alongside my singing and my acting and also my producing too, while also sort of educating myself further to understand more surrounding social impact strategy, for example, development and policies, so I could better equip myself and sort of build that foundation of what I was wanting to advocate and the activations that I wanted to create.
I do want to touch on the importance of getting involved with policy, because I feel a lot of times creatives are putting out this amazing work and they know it's making a difference. It's making an impact. It's changing people's views. It's helping people not feel alone. But at the same time, they sometimes forget the importance of getting involved in policy and going to government officials, wherever you are in the world, and actually advocating for the changes you want to see.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, sometimes you can feel that, you know, this is just my art project, you know, it's got a message. But again, social impact. And if you're creating social impact in art, it's what action that you can do. And that's something that I think we should all try and focus on. And that is also a reason why I did this master, so I could understand more and have that knowledge about policy and what could be done. And also to not be afraid to try and approach, whether it's your local MPs, whether it's government officials, is to bring forward that project with an action, with a goal in mind, and to try and see that through the best you can, and build your team of creatives around you and people who want to be a part of the project to see that action come about.
It's a confidence thing as well, because you just brought up about being able to go talk to representatives. Because
sometimes
people feel very, you know what, I know that person's viewpoints, they don't care, they'll never listen to me, they're going to think I'm full of, you know.
Yeah, you totally have that. I mean, it's always like, oh, right, am I saying the right thing? Am I, you know, approaching the right way? But I think at the end of the day, it's just being able to have the courage, you know, have the courage to reach out, to ask and see what can be done. Because if you don't ask, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
You know, the answer
was
a no.
Exactly. And you want to have those, you know, try and have those conversations, even if it's, you know, some of the partnerships that I've had, either some are through connections of mine. So I've reached out to my network explaining a project that I've been doing. So for example, with my Youth End Domestic Violence project, I reached out to a good friend of mine, Hermina Johnny. She runs an NGO called Aspire Artemis Foundation, who they're amazing. I've sung with them at the UN and traveled with them as well, and focusing on social impact in the arts. And I reached out to her regarding the project, and she said, okay, great. And then she made those connections, sort of then came about to the UN partnership that I had with the Spotlight Initiative, which was fantastic. And then sort of from there, more people want to become a part of your mission and what you're doing. And I think even with my project with Won't Be Displaced, right now we're having those conversations about a potential collaboration and partnership, but it was really just, I was reaching out to an info at, and then suddenly I was reaching out to a person and having more and further communication. So not being afraid to ask and send that email and speak about that project to see what change you can bring about and who wants to be a part of the journey at the end of the day.
For a parent who's raising an LGBTQIA plus kid, what advice would you give to them as they're trying to help their child grow up and evolve in this world where they're going to, you know, come across spaces that they may feel uncomfortable or not wanted or even fearful for themselves? Because as a parent, you want to support your kid. Mm-hmm. I would just love to hear what your family, how they supported you, who supported you along your journey as you grew up.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very lucky. My family is so supportive and so accepting of who I am as a person, also very accepting of my incredible partner too. And I think at the end of the day, it's just having that structure, that family structure. And, you know, I am very lucky myself, so I can't speak for everybody. But if you don't have that family structure, it might be through friends. It might be through friends you get that family structure who are going to support you and be there for you. And it really just comes down to those that who love you for the way you are.
Second question on that, on kind of the advice side of it.
Yeah, cool.
What three pieces of advice would you give to a girl who dreams of growing up and becoming a singer and an actor in 2024? Because the world has changed a lot in the last 10, 15 years and how you share your work and what projects you get involved in. And I think about this a lot now because creators are having to create, but they need to make their own brand in a sense to put themselves out there. And that's been a new evolving piece of being in this industry.
It is. I mean, it's definitely a business. So whatever brand that you're putting out there on yourself, it's also a business. And it's being able to create that content along with that brand. And sometimes it is, you know, it's overwhelming. I would say, don't be afraid to be you, just to be you, that your voice is powerful and can be seen and will be seen. I would also say, you know, anyone listening to this right now, I'd love to connect with any sort of like-minded individuals who wants to get into the business, or whether that's acting or singing or producing or activism. We can chat further about, you know, art, activism, advocation, and it's really building up that network of people who just connect with what you're saying and the projects you're doing. And I would say that they should be, or you could be asking your friends, you know, chat about your passions, chat about your activations, and sort of see who wants to help you with your mission. And then I think you said three. Have I said three? Not sure. I think this is the third one. Lastly, I would say is, numbers are not everything. If you're putting your content out there, even if you're just connecting with one person, I truly believe that you are making a difference, because that person is engaging with you and reacting with you. They're connecting with you and also your story.
Where can people find you to connect with you?
You can find me in multiple places, lots of social media. So I'm on Instagram, also on Threads, still on Facebook, TikTok as well. Wanting to also create a Stronger With Music community as well on Threads and also Discord, which I'm going to be looking to create. But if you follow me on my socials on Instagram, just at @PierraVDW, I'm always sharing sort of what I'm up to and what I'm doing. Just send me a message and say hello and, you know, I'll get back to you. I love communicating with people and meeting new people and understanding their passions and their work and their projects. And I think that's sort of why I love this industry so much, is that it's just, you know, meeting, the more people that you're meeting, the more people who are part of the projects that you're making, the better the projects are. At the end of the day.
Last question. What's a favorite monologue of yours?
Ooh, that's such a good... Oh, wow, I'm going to be judged for this. Maybe not. Who knows if I'm going to be judged for this? I love and I'm obsessed with Kathy Bates in... I forgot the name of the movie now.
Misery.
And I can't believe I just suddenly forgot the name, but that is one of my favorite monologues. And I have done that. And I know it's from a film, but it's a monologue that I come to quite a lot. And I played that character sort of some time ago, actually, when I was training in school. And I love it. It's very powerful. It's sort of got that sort of psychological thriller aspect to it. And yeah, it's fantastic. And also, I love a good psychological thriller. I was cast in actually a psychological thriller right before Christmas called Mindscapes, which is a really exciting project. It's also about mental health and it's a psychological thriller. So it's something that I enjoy. I enjoy a good psychological thriller and acting in that. So.
Pierra, thank you so much for being with us today on the Girls That Create podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
To all of you tuning in, thank you for joining us on the Girls That Create podcast on Word of Mom Radio. When you're blue, I encourage you to listen to Climb Every Mountain from the Sound of Music soundtrack. Here's another uplifting tune, our theme song by Smith Sisters and the Sunday Drivers. Till next time, this is Erin Prather Stafford.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She